Derek Monroe will have a bi-weekly or monthly talk, and today we're going to start talking about, you mentioned the arbitration news. What is this about?
Yes, it's a huge news because we, when I was visiting you guys in Antwerp earlier in the month, the issue came up. And what happened was our administration, with the influence of the Republican Party, has come up with the idea of supporting the financial industry to the degree where making any kind of arbitration clause when it comes to financial products and produced by banks, financial disclosure, to be binding, which ultimately violates U.S. Constitution, specifically the Seventh Amendment, where every U.S. citizen has supposed to have access to the courts. What it basically does, if you are going to sign any kind of financial document or purchase any kind of financial product, like I said before, there is a variety of different disclosures. Usually, the so-called arbitration clauses are usually buried on page 75 or 78, one or two sentences only. And, you know, even have that in for example, the big four American technology companies like Google, Yahoo. Anytime you have to sign any kind of agreement, yep, they're really buried in it. So anyway, the idea is the Republican Party and President Trump specifically stated that those clauses are valid and they take precedence.
And what do they say, those clauses? I mean, we discussed it last time, but for those who haven't heard it.
Usually, I'll give you an example just from one of my lawsuits that I filed last year. The clause, I don't have the wording specifically. It specifically states, in case there's any kind of dispute or problem between us, the company, and you, the consumer, you are not going to pursue the legal action, but first you're going to go to the binding arbitration. Arbitration is basically a third party, usually made up by professional lawyers, a panel of three or five judges, depending on what the situation is and which individual state is different, which they are going to hear your case, listen to your evidence, and ultimately they're going to decide the case on the on its own merit. The only problem is that a lot of the arbitration panels are made up of the industry people, who are people who are not professional arbitrators per se, but they're simple lawyers, and they're moonlighting as a quote-unquote arbitrators, and they're paid by the industry. Ultimately, arbitration process is generally paid by the side that's appealing the case, or it's actually writing the case for arbitration, which in this case, yep, would be a financial industry or a bank.
You say this is non-constitutional, so, against the Seventh Amendment. Why?
Absolutely not. This is basically, it violates due process, because in this is the first time we have this type of situation in civil law. There's obviously a criminal aspect to it as well. For example, if you're going to be injured by someone, or the way U.S. system works, in case you have any kind of damage from a criminal activity, there are two ways that legal case will approach. First would be the criminal case, which would be supported by the criminal part of our legal environment, which is usually a prosecutor office with the attorney general office that's going to basically present charges against the person who did damage to you. However, the civil case, if there's any kind of monetary damage that you will claim, mm-hmm, you have to go for a separate procedure called the civil court, which basically would be devoid, which is basically completely separate from the criminal part itself. So any person that claims to have any kind of damage to him or her has to go through two different ways of getting resolution of the issue, both criminal as well as the civil. And this arbitration clause applies specifically to the civil way of our legal establishment, or legal procedure, that the way it works. So basically what it does is simply takes you to the position to being completely subservient to a decision made by arbitration court.
So what is the justification of this?
Because, first of all, because financial industry for years been complaining about this, that the court system is too expensive and it also takes too long to resolve the issues. In a way, they have a point, because, you know, in order to take any kind of case, specifically when it comes to the C-class action, C-class action is the case where many different customers or many people who are wronged can get together and establish a class. For example, if there's a bank that, for example, sells fraudulent financial products,
yep,
and let's say 50,000 people are affected by it, It's very expensive for a single individual person like myself to basically go to court and establish the precedent, meaning that, take on a multi-billion dollar corporation. However, if you find 40 or 50,000 victims, hypothetically, you can bind them together as a one defense, one plaintiff, one person, legal person. You can bind those 50,000 people and basically then get a very good representation from a very expensive law firm, somebody who's really well versed in how the legal system works, and have a much more powerful weapon towards the bank that cheated you. So it's much. So, for example, in case such as this, when a C-class action takes place, sometimes the penalties can go into the hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, in some cases.
And what will the
So,
legislation do with this class action
what it
cases?
basically will is basically forbid you as a consumer to get together in a group of people who are wronged. Basically, what it says, well, you have to do it alone, number one thing, which is very difficult for a single person who doesn't know the law and doesn't have the resources. And second of all, even if you file the lawsuit, the bank can simply show up to the court and says, well, I'm sorry, we have an arbitration court established in this particular agreement that we service agreement that we have with this gentleman or customer, and we want to go to the arbitration. We cannot really be in court anymore, and judge would have to agree to it.
Has this been voted now, or is it only a proposal? Has it been?
That's a proposal that's been implemented into our congressional setup. However, I expect this ruling to be taken to the Supreme Court, specifically overturned. But obviously, it's going to take time because it ultimately violates. This is a very serious matter because this is the first time we have a situation where corporate entity corporation, and I was talking about earlier about issue of corporatism, where ultimately certain actors within our society, which are corporations, we simply feel themselves to be above the law, that they make the law. And
So,
it's really, it's, yeah.
how does this play out politically? Because I guess that it's proposed by the government, so I guess the Republicans are in favor of it. But then again, the Democrats, they also were quite well. They had arbitration clauses in the TTIP and the Asian Free Trade Agreement. So, do they take a position in this
Well,
on this topic or?
generally, when it comes to international agreements, it's a little bit different ball game because, for example, most Americans are ignorant by international issues. Therefore, most are people, regular like you, person, you and me, simply do not have a knowledge of what's being composed by NAFTA, CAFTA, or NEFTA, or TTP, or TTIP. They have simply no idea what's really goes into the process of making international trade agreement. However, in this case, it's very pivotal. This ruling, this decision affects virtually everyone. So, so it's getting to the point where not only the voting, it's funny because it's really I hate to use the big words like anti-American or anti-this, anti-that, but this is really truly an anti-American ruling to the degree where this really affects everyone who's a consumer, regardless of what your political views are, where you come from, what's your nationality, virtually affects everyone. So I think Democrats were wise in this case to present pretty strong opposition, but since they're in minority, I think their political power is being overruled. But on the other hand, we're definitely going to see the backlash. And I think the legal community, the legal professional community here in the U.S., they're not going to take a lying down. I'm pretty sure they're going to take it to the Supreme Court. And I think if there's any vestige of sanity left in our legal system, in our societal system, this decision will be overturned because there's simply no way. This truly violates a basic precept of due process. There's just simply no, this, it really shows the whole ruling itself, but the decision itself really shows the bankruptcy of our political system. That something like this is even being even discussed. I mean, this is just, you and I, we live in democracy, and one of the pivotal freedoms that we enjoy as citizens, in case we are wrong, to basically have a capability and possibility to go to court to get a redress. It is that simple. And if you don't have that, then this smacks more of an authoritarian totalitarian system. So something out of the Soviet Union, I think. This is just, it's completely unreal.
What's the to close this item off? What is the time, the expectation about when the is it the Constitutional Court or the Supreme Court that will
Yes,
rule?
Supreme Court. Yes,
Yes.
in our system, Supreme Court is the most Supreme Court of the land. But obviously, it's going to take time. I would say the shortest probably 7-8 months. The longest maybe a couple of weeks.
So
there
to be
there'll be a
continued
lot of that
next year,
process.
basically. Yeah.